TED Audio Collective. This TED Talk features global health expert Agnes Binagwahu, recorded live at TED Women 2019.
Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple. TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You can earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Hey, TED Talks Daily listeners, if you are looking for another podcast that will help you learn something new every day, check out Everything Everywhere Daily, one of the world's most popular daily education podcasts and recently ranked the number one history podcast. In about 10 minutes, you can learn something new every day. For example, why are there no flying cars? What's the history of pizza? How did NASA's human computers bring us to the moon? Learn something new every day with Everything Everywhere Daily. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this.
I came back in my home of Rwanda 2 years after the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. The country was devastated. The children I was caring for at the hospitals were dying for treatable conditions because we didn't have equipment or medicine to save them. I was tempted to pack my bag and run away. But I debate with myself. And because I'm really dedicated to social justice and equity, and there were only 5 pediatricians in total for millions of children in Rwanda, I decided to stay. But among the people who have motivated my decision to stay, there were some fantastic women of Rwanda. Some women who had faced the genocide and survived it. They had to overcome unbelievable pain and suffering. Some of them were raising children, conceived through rape. Others were dying slowly with HIV and forgave the perpetrators who voluntarily infected them using HIV and rape as a weapon. So they inspired me. If they can do that, I can stay and try to do my best. Those ladies were really activists of peace and reconciliation. They show us a way to rebuild a country for our children and grandchildren to have one day a place they can call home with pride. And you can ask yourself where this shift of mindset has brought our country. Today in Rwanda, we have the highest percentage of women in parliament. Wait that I tell you the percentage, 61%. Today, we have the best campaign for vaccination of children, with among our success, 93% of our girls vaccinated against HPV to prevent them against cervical cancer. In this country, it's 54. We have reduced child mortality by 75%, maternal mortality by 80%. In early 2000, there were 9 women who were dying every day around delivery and pregnancy. Today is around 2. It's an unfinished agenda. We still have a long way to go. 2 is still too much. But do I believe that those results are due because we had a big number of women in power position? I do. There is a study in the developing world who shows that if you improve the status of women, you improve the status of the community where they live. Up to 47% of decrease in child mortality. And even in this country where we are now, it's true. There is a study of a lady called Patricia Ullman who project that if women and men were at parity in state legislatures, there will be a drop of 14.5% in child mortality in America. So, we know that women, when they use their skills in leadership position, they enhance the entire population they are in charge for. And imagine what would happen if women were at parity with men all over the world. What a huge benefit we could expect. Oh, yeah. Because in general, we have different style of leadership. More inclusive, more empathetic, more caring for little children. And this makes the difference. Unfortunately, this ideal doesn't exist in the world. And the difference between men and women in leadership position is too big. Gender inequity is the norm in the majority of professions, even in global health. I have learned that if we focus on women education, we improve their life positively, as well as the well-being of their community. This is why now I dedicate my life to education. And this is totally aligned with my sense of equity and my pursuit of social justice. Because if you want to increase access to health services, you need first to increase access to health education. So, with friends and partners, we are building a beautiful university in the rural north of Rwanda. We educate our students to provide quality, equitable, holistic care to everyone, leaving no one out. Focusing on the vulnerable, especially women and children, who are historically the last to be served. We transform them in leaders and give them managerial skills and advocacy skills for them to be smooth change makers in the society where they will be, so that they can build health systems who allow them to care about the vulnerable where they are. And it's really transformative because currently, medical education, for example, is given in institutions based in cities, focused on quality health services and skills, clinical skills, to be given in institutions. We also focus on quality clinical skills, but with biosocial approach to the condition of patient, for care to be given in communities where the people live, with hospitalization only when necessary. And also, after 4 to 7 years clinical education in cities, young graduates doesn't want to go back to rural area. So this is why we have built the University of Global Health Equity, an initiative of partner in health called UGG in the rural north of Rwanda. Our students are meant to go and change the world. They will come from all over. It's a global university. And will get the medical education for free at one condition. They have to serve the vulnerable across the world during 6 to 9 years. They will keep their salary for themselves and their families, but turn the education we give in quality clinical services, especially for the vulnerable. And doing so, they sign an agreement at start that they will do that, a binding agreement. We don't want money. We have to go and mobilize the money. But they will turn this in quality service delivery for all. For this, of course, we need a strong gender equity agenda. And in all our classes, master's course, minimum of 50% of women. And I'm proud to say that for the medical school, who started 5 months ago, we have enrolled 70% of girls. This is a statement against the current inequity for women to access medical education in our continent. I believe in women education. This is why I applaud African ladies who go all over the world to increase their education, their skills, and their knowledge. But I hope they will bring that back to Africa to build the continent and make the continent a strong continent, because I'm sure a stronger Africa will make the world stronger. Sure. And 23 years ago, I went back in Rwanda, in a broken Rwanda that now is still a poor country, but shining, with a bright future. And I'm full of joy to have come back, even if some days were very difficult, and even if some days I was depressed because I didn't find the solution and people were dying or things were not moving enough. But I'm so proud to have contributed to improve my community. And this makes me full of joy. So, African woman from the diaspora, if you hear me, never forget your homeland. And when you are ready, come back home. I did so. It has fulfilled my life. So, come back home. Thank you. PRX.